Oh, I hate children. Don't like snip that out. It's like, ah.
Yeah, but to be fair, that's in context fully. Like, that's, we can all agree each other's.
Yeah, right? Exactly. I'll be there agreeing with you anyway.
Right.
Welcome to Accent Accidents. I'm your host, Hannah, and as always, I'm joined by Anna and Evan. If you're new to this podcast, be sure to subscribe and follow us. And today, we are talking to our good friend and former co-worker, Karen. And before you, like, turn off your headphones or think, I don't know, I don't want to listen to a Karen, this is not a Karen. Karen is actually quite the opposite. She's originally from New Jersey. Sorry, guys. But you'll soon hear she doesn't have a New Jersey accent. And that could be from years of training, the TV training it out of her. Karen is what you would definitely call a DAG. And if you know, if you've listened to our previous podcast, you know what that means. Okay, guys. So welcome, Karen.
Thank you.
So some people, you know, I was talking with Hannah before this. Some people have only recently turned into Karens. You have been Karen your entire life and yet have remained not a Karen.
Right? I totally get that.
So, well done. Props. I mean, assuming everyone who's named Karen is naturally a Karen, not at all. But let's define this. Okay, we Googled what Karen is, Urban Dictionary or something. This is interesting, which I instantly thought. It says, Karen is an ethnic slur. Like, right away, I was like, oh, what? I didn't realize it was ethnic. But yeah, I don't know if I agree with that or not. It's a slur used in the Western world for a woman perceived to be entitled or demanding beyond the scope of what is considered appropriate or necessary. A common stereotype is that of a racist white woman who uses her privilege to demand her own way at the expense of others.
Mm. I think that's what they mean by ethnic slur, is that it's really only white women.
Oh.
And that it talks about the white privilege. And so in that regard,
you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
It's the angry white woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. You don't see a lot of like happy Karen memes.
No.
Usually.
Only when Karen gets her way.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So Karen, have you ever had a like full on Karen moment? I feel like, I don't know. Probably at some point, everyone kind of has had a Karen moment.
We all have Karen. We all have a Karen within us.
Totally.
Yeah, I have categorized ways in which I'm going to behave, and some people might call that Karen. Like, I'm absolutely like I have a theory about restaurants and like hotel booking, like restaurant tables and hotel booking, right? And it's like, they're going to give you the worst table because they know somebody's going to come along and say, I insist on that one by the window. So my theory is I want to be the one by the window because it's random. They're going to fill up the tables. And so
yeah,
I am that person that takes that extra time to go like, oh, can I have that one over there?
Interesting.
Yeah.
So is that like a metaphor? Is that all a life motto? Or is that literally
they're
gonna
give it away?
Yeah.
Right. That's so
well,
funny.
I feel, no, because it doesn't apply all over the place. It's like, it's and hotel rooms too. They're going to give you the one that you know still has smoking smell in it, or they're going to give you the interior one. Like, go and tell them. Like, do you have one that faces the outside? Like, I feel like it's just worth my time to do that, but. Like the indignant kind of like, may I speak to your manager thing? Like, no, like I don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of times I'll walk into a store and I'll be like, I don't even have anything to buy. I just am going to go to the customer, you know, service department and I'm going to directly say, may I speak to your manager? No, I'm kidding.
No. Karen is
like,
Karen, I work with you.
I was like,
years.
Are you going to go there and ask him what to buy?
She's like, what are you?
Karen is like this. Like Karen is one of those people that like kills him with niceness, which is why it's so funny
so
that this whole meme thing happens. Like we'll go to a bar and she'll get served the worst drink ever, and she'll have a smile on her face and she'll say, you know, I don't think this is quite what I was expecting. Or something to that effect. It's like true. The sweetest way she could say it.
It's true. So true.
Well, okay, now it's coming to me. Yeah, I did have a total can on Thanksgiving.
Uh-oh.
Where, I'm not Thanksgiving, Valentine's Day.
Very different holidays.
Yeah.
My husband and I went to a restaurant. You should not go to a restaurant on Valentine's Day. Just forget it.
Right.
Because everybody books restaurants and they can't serve everybody that they need to, and they're charging $80.
And you're not going to get the window seat.
Yeah, totally. So this particular restaurant was their serving size. I ordered fish, and I'm telling you, I got like 2 ounce serving with the swirls all over the place and like, you know, pieces of saffron on the edges or something, you know, to make it look like, and I was like, wait a minute, I'm going to be hungry at 11:30. Like,
where's the rest of my fish?
No to this, you know? And the woman, and what I try and do is if I'm really, okay, this is a crisis moment.
Yeah.
I try and be like, okay, I know this isn't you. You didn't make this decision. So right. You're just the transporter of my information, which is not okay.
Yeah.
But it
you didn't catch this tiny fish. I know it wasn't you.
No, it was like, I'm telling you, it was like the gill of one fish that they put on a plate for me. It was fractional. Yeah, so I did complain. And she did come to the table and she was like, is everything okay? Or no, she goes, how's everything going? And I was like, not good. So that probably came off as totally bitchy, but I really do try and be like, this isn't you, this isn't your fault, but the restaurant has to make good for me right now.
Right.
And what happened about the fish? How did it end?
She gave me another whole entree.
Oh, another small bit of fish.
another gill.
Was it the same size?
Yes. It was.
Of course it was, because you know that chef was like, well, I can't make it look like this piece is way bigger now.
Yeah, that's so funny. I mean, yeah, totally. We've all had Karen moments.
Yeah.
I also think that it's strange that it's only like females. Like, it's dudes as well, let's be honest. But there's no term for it. So if you had to choose, if you had to choose a name, what would be the name be for a guy? Would it be Chad?
No, Chad's young. Chad's a young name.
Yeah. What's a...
Kevin? Amazon bro.
I don't know. Keith, but I feel like who? Keith.
I thought you were being such a Keith.
No, those all sound like young frat guy names. But Keith? I feel like
No one names their child Keith.
Well, they're not children anymore. Like young frat guys, I'm thinking like 20s, 30s, whatever. But if you're talking like middle-aged white men, their names are like Bruce and like Dave and like, you know, right?
Yeah.
I feel like Dave spans every generation. Yeah. Maybe true. Bruce.
What about Darren? A Darren and a Karen.
That's
what needs to happen.
Let's start using Darren. Darren.
So, Darren. So, Darren. What a Darren. How daring you. Karen, I remember actually talking with you at work when this started to kind of become a thing. I remember, because I think you were telling me, I don't know if your daughter showed you something or whatever, but I remember you being like, what, I thought, were people talking about me? But I didn't, or I don't know what. And then we were, because obviously we worked on the social side, and so when we were talking with you and you're like, what's going on? So I kind of remember this, but like, how does this all make you feel that your name has now been co-opted as a meme?
I kind of imagine a scenario where somebody's dismissing me and they're like, wait, your name actually is Karen? Oh, that is supreme. Like, it's gonna happen.
That is supreme.
Yeah,
look, like, everybody, her name is Karen. Look at her.
Right?
You know, and I get like egged.
Oh my gosh, it's so funny, because it's like, if I get emails back or like even job listing stuff or whatever, and it's like from Karen at the, I was like, that was a total Karen thing to say, and this person's name is Karen. Oh no,
the unicorn moment.
Yeah, does this make you feel like you need to like be way more, even less of a Karen, like, because you feel like you're gonna be stereotyped
for
your
name? No, I mean, I kind of am like, you know, I'm waiting for it to pass.
Yeah, it'll pass.
It's totally pass. 100%.
Yeah. I mean, because in a moment where you're anonymous, really people aren't going to know your name. And that's when people dismiss somebody as, you know, whatever attributes people have for Karens. It's mm-hmm. always an anonymous, a person you don't really know. Unless you're really using it as a verb throughout your life.
Right.
Which, I'm middle-aged. I don't, and, you know, people I know well generally are not using that around me, so I don't have exposure to that.
So we're going to move on from Karen, the subject, and ask Karen a little bit about New Jersey. I always, why am I saying New Jersey like it's like French or something? That's the way it's coming out of my mouth. I don't know why. It never has been before until now. New Jersey.
New Jersey.
This is accent.
New Jersey.
Sorry. But you are originally from New Jersey. Yes. What are some common misconceptions that people have about you being from New Jersey?
Well, people think, I mean, they get a lot from the TV shows, you know, like Jersey Shore and Sopranos, right? Those are the big ones.
Yeah.
And like they think New Jersey is kind of a monolith and everybody's like that. And of course, right, this is true with anything.
Australians, I can say that about Australians for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So like just geographically, like New Jersey is, you've got shoreline that's got its own vibe. You've got mountainous areas. You've got country. There's like actual like country, like rural stuff going on in New Jersey. There's, and then there's, you know, vast tracts of suburbs. So lots of different areas. And I also think that there's different New Jersey accents too. Like,
really? Can you do different New Jersey accents?
No, I can't really. I mean, the weird thing is I grew up in a suburb of Manhattan, so like north, like right across from the George Washington Bridge. And so a lot of people who settled there, like when I was growing up, they would have been parents who, they grew up in Queens or the Bronx or blah, 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 and their, you know, careers were going to a point where they thought, like, they left the New York boroughs and moved to the New Jersey suburbs. And, you know, and then when I came of age, it was like, oh, no, don't stay in the suburbs, move to the city. So totally weird. But you would, so you're all different kinds of accents that were, you, I don't really have a firm sense of like New Jersey versus New York. You know, it's all very, you know, I could do like a, you know, a New Jersey accent that's very, very general, but you will go to certain areas and it will be, you know, sort of different, right?
That's so good.
I love it.
So you grew up like right over the water from Manhattan, or you grew up in Manhattan?
Oh, no. I grew up in New Jersey. It was a New Jersey suburb that was like, it's like, you know, if you drove on a really good day, it'd be like 20 minutes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you hang out, like, as a teenager, would you make your way over into New York then, or into Manhattan?
Yeah. We would go to the clubs, those of us who had fake ID. And
Karen, you had a fake ID.
I did. I have
been. You lived, I feel like you were pretty, I can never say this word, badass, because it doesn't match my accent, but you guys, can you say it?
You could barely say it. So.
Badass. I feel like you were really cool back
then.
Badass.
Like, wait, what's the Aussie term for badass?
Well, there's not, like, I don't know what it is, but, like, Hugh and I, we used to have this, like, friend, and she would always say, bad ass for everything. And we just can't say it because we say ass, not ass. And so it always just come out like we're trying to be posh and we're not, obviously. And so we'd be like, oh, you're so bad at ass. And it just.
Bad ass.
Just be like, stumble through it.
Yeah, I was like, this is not bad what you're ass. Supposed to say. But I feel like you were pretty cool when you were growing up. Like you were sneaking into clubs. Like how old were you when you were
a little bit
club?
Of a rebel? A little bit of a rebel?
I really fully lived
okay.
in my earlier chapters, and like, thank God, right? 'Cause,
elaborate.
No, you don't you know have
what?
To.
This is funny. This was, I can't tell you how many times I've told the story because it generally brings delight to people, but it relates to living in Seattle. And when people know this story, they associate all sorts of things with me in New Jersey and the East Coast. But when I was living in Manhattan in my 20s, for a couple years, I had a reverse commute and I got a car and it was a really old Volare. And I don't even know how this is possible. In the late 80s, early 90s, I would keep it in, I would do I lived on the Upper West Side and I would do alternate side of the street park. You know, I'd park on the side streets and I would go, if I went downtown, I would actually drive downtown. It doesn't seem possible, but I really lived that life for a couple of years. And one time I picked up my friend in an ABC building on like Broadway and there was so I double parked and then I walked to the door to like buzz to get her or something. When I came back, a taxi triple parked my double park and was like gone. And I was like, it was like seriously like 20 minutes. Like, I can't leave. And I was furious. So I like crawled out of the driver's seat, like window. And I was like standing on the hood of the car. And I was like jumping up and down. I was like, where are you? You know, and this taxi cab driver comes out of whatever, you know, little shoppy he was in. And it's this like 1 second where you meet eyeballs and it's like, okay, is this guy going to kill me or is he not going to kill me? And I was like, no, he's not going to kill me. Boom, boom, boom. Like I'm going back up to jumping up and down. He jumps on my car.
Like, oh my God, that's yelling amazing. At each other.
What?
Yeah, nothing came of it, right? So that's my little story about taxi cabs in New York City.
Wow. That's like a episode of Seinfeld.
That's totally a Seinfeld episode.
And then he triple parked my double park.
Yeah.
So, Anna, you've spent considerable time on the East Coast, but Hannah and Evan, like, do you feel like a lot of what your associations are totally like TV driven?
I would say, yeah. Like there's this sense of, because I have a lot of West Coast friends who are from here and have gone to live on the East Coast for a while, yeah, and come back. And more often than not, they kind of get hooked on that sort of, I don't know what it is, adrenaline of the East Coast. It's like they kind of have this lasting taste in their mouth of like, people say what they mean.
Directness.
Everyone's hustling. Yeah. You just cut the fat,
yeah,
you know? And that seems to be a common East Coast thing that is definitely sounds appealing when it's just like there's such a manana mentality on the West Coast, you know? Yeah. And yeah, so I get how people like that because I feel like it really would. I felt so, when I lived in LA, I felt so driven by the community and the people around me of like, if I'm not hustling, I'm falling behind. You know, if you're hustling, that's the baseline, you know, like of, and I feel like if I lived on the East Coast, it would be so much more. Cause it's like, you'd be walking everywhere and you would just be like,
don't have the sunshine.
You'd be grinding and then you'd be dealing with the snow and you would just be like, I'm going to succeed or die.
It toughens you up. I feel, like LA, I feel like, not that I've lived here long enough to have an opinion, but I feel like you do kind of have to have a few different like hobbies or jobs or goals. But in New York, it's like you have to be working 24/7 to,
That rent.
Yeah.
Like, there's
to
no,
make that rent to live. Yeah,
there's
exactly.
No, I don't picture New York as relaxing.
No.
Well, you get like, you go to a bar and the question you get is, okay, what's your name? What do you do? Immediately, into it. And I remember like when I moved back from New York or even when I'd like visit, people be like, where are you from? And I'd be like, I'm from here, like from Colorado. Like I'd be in Colorado and I'd be like, I'm from here. And they'd be like, really? And it's just like, you kind of like, I don't know. You just always kind of carry a little bit of it with you. And so like.
After I was living in Seattle for a while, I met this Venezuelan guy who lived in Fort Lee, New Jersey and worked in Manhattan and on Madison Avenue. And I was like, how do you like him? He's like, I love New Jersey. And he's like, because I work in advertising. I live next door to a bricklayer and I, you know, everybody's different. We're all together. And I was like, yeah, you know, it's funny. Every, you know, now when I go back home, it's like I'm hit with like how, not aggro isn't the word I used, but how much more rougher people are. And he goes, are you kidding? I love that. And he goes, and I'm like, because I noticed, like, if I go into a deli in New York, that you don't actually say hello when you mm-hmm. when you buy your soda, right?
Yeah.
And, and then when they give you the change, they just, like, hand it to you, like, get out.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
And I mentioned this to him, and he goes, yeah, no, but I like that. Because he's like, I don't give a fuck how they are today. They don't give a fuck how I am.
No, like, it's totally true. I have a really funny story about that. My friend, I have a really good friend, Suru, who's from, like, born and raised in New York, like, West Harlem. And she came out with me to Colorado. And we were driving between, like, my hometown and Denver, which is about an hour, hour and a half. And we had to stop along the way. And I think she was a little hungover. We went into a gas station. I was filling up the car. And she just needed to get some, like, ibuprofen, water, and, like, a snack. And so she grabs all the things, she takes it to the counter, and the woman at the counter goes, how are you doing today? And she just kind of like looks at her like, what the fuck? And she's like, fine. And she's like, can I help you with something? And like in like her mental dialogue was like, no, I just wanted to see these items that I brought up here in a different light to see if I really wanted to get them. But, you know, she's like, no, I just want to buy this.
Oh my God,
but it's so true. It's like you go to New York and you're actually lucky if you go into a Duane Reade and the woman behind the counter doesn't first suck her teeth at you when you set your stuff down and then slam your receipt on the counter when you're done. Like,
oh, my God, I love New York. Okay. So we're going to move on to a game that I do not have a title for, and it's just called a fun segment. Mm. Hopefully it's fun.
Sounds good.
Yay, fun segment.
A little background. We, Evan, Anna, and I know, working with Karen, that she is quite a lexicon. She is just full of words, and she knows all the words, right, guys?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's true.
Or she makes them up.
Yeah, totally.
Right.
But so I thought I would basically present you guys with a list of strange words, and you have to basically guess the meaning of it.
Karen does?
No, both of you. I feel like it's mean to just get Karen to do it. Oh. I think you all need a pitch in.
Okay, so all three of us. Okay.
Yeah, all three of you.
So and these are just the meanings of words.
These are just like weird words that I found that are strange that you, like, maybe I just don't know them, but like I want to see how smart you guys are, basically.
So we're not flubbing. Like if we know
If you know the real one, shout it out.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. The first one is titty nope.
That sounds like an old word. That sounds like, right. And I bet you anything that word is like super innocent and doesn't mean nearly anything.
Oh, okay, right. But like if you had to guess, Anna.
Oh God.
I would guess that
it's a noun.
It's an antonym of titty yes.
That's funny.
It's
a dad joke.
And
it's funny. It works.
It's
Evan.
Like, fuck yes.
That's so funny because me and my friends will say tits as a sort of expletive of being like, oh,
that's
tits.
That's the tits.
Yes.
That's the tits.
That's the tits. Yeah.
We'll say
titty
that.
Nope.
Sure.
Titty nope. No.
Titty nope.
But it's got the weirdest definition. It's basically a titty nope is when you have a plate of food that you have finished and you've got a scattering of crumbs that are left on the side of the plate. Those crumbs are called a titty nope.
Okay, is that from England?
What?
Is that is that a Britishism?
Let's say yes. I don't know the details.
What?
We'll link it in the description.
Can you just imagine a British person saying,
right?
Like, oh, you've got a bit of a titty nope.
Haven't quite finished yet. Finish your titty notes. Yeah.
I love you. You left your titty notes on.
Are you going to finish those titty notes?
I've been watching, like, as I'm just like bored and I've got nowhere to go. I've been like watching Downton Abbey. Have you ever watched that?
Yeah.
Oof, you're bored.
I am bored, but it is so good.
It is a soap opera.
It's good until it's not.
I love trash. Yeah. I'm up to season 2. It's fine.
All right.
Okay. The next word is Oh my god, I should have listened to this.
Sound it out, Hannah. Sound it out.
Right.
Okay.
You can spell it.
Genticular.
Oh my god, this is such a great word to make up a
definition for. Well, what do you think? Have you heard of the word genticular?
Genticular or gentacular?
I think it's gentacular.
Because no matter which one you said, I was going to say no.
Genticular sounds like a word I've heard. But that's
not necessarily mean anything. You said it like that, but I'm pretty sure it's gentacular.
Wait, how's it spelled?
Gentacu.
J?
Oh.
Gin,
the first curveball. The first letter.
Gentacular.
No.
Wow. That's, I'm gonna say what's the phoneme gen about? I don't even know.
I think it's something that has to do with a weird angle. I'm gonna stick to the genticular, and I'm gonna say that it's something geometric.
You're just going with perpendicular.
Totally.
No. But what about spectacular?
How about I use the sentence and then that might help? I took a post gentacular walk to settle my stomach.
Oh,
it has to do with digestion.
Eating. Yeah, yeah.
The settling of the stomach?
No.
Oh, it's a drink. What?
No.
I was
right
so
there.
Confident.
No.
You it's took like a walk after a post genticular walk.
Gentacular walk.
Gentacular.
Don't get it twisted.
Weird.
Okay, so basically, it's basically anything you consume at breakfast, whether that be like a cup of tea or like anything that you've eaten, it's like gentacular.
Wow, that is.
Is that like the scientific name for like breaking your fast?
Oh, I don't know.
It sounds like it means breakfast.
Yeah, right. It's like basically anything that you would. So like a gentacular cup of tea would be like a tea that you had at breakfast.
So like fancy gentical.
Right. That sounds bad. Gentical.
Delicious.
It does sound like you're saying, that was gentacular.
It does.
Ew.
I had a gentacular breakfast.
All right, I've got one more. Okay. And it's cattywampus.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great word.
It. Yeah.
Okay,
that's
what is
like,
it? This is awesome.
It's like lopsided.
Yeah. It's askew. Guys, exactly what it is. How do you know this word?
We're smart.
You don't hear it very much.
Yeah, right? When something's cattywampus.
I feel like there's words that go with populations and years.
Yes,
and,
like trends.
Yeah, and I guess they get, you know, especially when things are coined, you know, they get, this is the weird thing. I feel like I only learned starting age 35, you know, is how fluid language is and how the dictionary doesn't, you know, authoritative dictionaries don't even claim, they're not there saying like, no, this is what the word means. They're saying this word has been used enough that we now will call it a word.
Yes.
And this is the thing that coalesces as its definition.
Yep.
But, you know, like words like normalcy, like, that was not a real word. And it was something like Teddy Roosevelt or somebody that used it, return to normalcy. Like normality would have been the word. Mm-hmm. And he made that. And now it's like at a certain point, the dictionary, like, I don't know, it was the Oxford English Dictionary or Webster's or whatever, said like, oh, okay, it's legit.
It's because people use it enough. It's like meme was never a word, I'm guessing. Yeah. Right. Like, and it's just now it's a word.
Yeah, meme, right.
Selfie. Yeah. Right. Hey, did you know that Australians invented the term selfie?
Oh, that's a perfect Australian invention.
That is.
What is it with the IE?
That's exactly how it came to be because we're so like lazy and everything. We were just like selfie. Like,
instead of a self-portrait. That's awesome.
Yeah, we'll just like take a selfie and then it took off.
It's funny because it's a diminutive, right? Mm-hmm. Susie, whatever. And shrimp on the Barbie.
Yeah.
Aussie.
So it's kind of cutifying and smallifying words is your national tendency.
It's true. Mm-hmm. I'll take it. what's your favorite word, Karen? Like, what's your favorite word?
And least favorite.
Yeah.
Do you
guys have a favorite or least favorite word?
No, you know, sometimes I like a word for it. I can't say like I have one favorite. Sometimes I like a word for the fact that it sounds like what it means. And one, I'm not saying like this is not like a delicious idea or anything. So it's not pretty in any way, but the word pinguid means like, I mean, look it up to get a more precise definition, but it has to do with like oily, fatty. And it's like just the word itself sounds like a pinguid. A pinguid person, you know?
Yeah, well, so that's like the word that I really like. I love globular cluster, which is like, I guess it's two words, but it sounds disgusting. But do yourself a favor and Google it because it's beautiful. It is what like a... It's like a bunch of like stars or something. It's so pretty.
Oh, it is pretty. A globular cluster is a spherical collection of stars that orbit a galactic core. Wow.
Wow. Galactic cores. You're so smart. My favorite word is yar.
Yar.
Yar for yes.
Yeah. Yar. I just really like there, and not necessarily that word in particular, but that kind of idea of like saying a very normal, commonplace thing with just like a little twist. Yeah. I don't know. You know, yar. It's just like, I don't, like our friend Fabs, like what, it became a joke, but we'd say instead of sure, we'd say sure. Like, you know, and then it just becomes, whether they're inside jokes or not, it's just like that just starts to kind of infiltrate your normal dialogue.
True.
And pretty soon you're saying that to like people outside your circles and they're like, what the fuck are you talking
about?
And you
like spell it the way that we spell it and we're like, well, that's not right. Like,
right.
The correct way. Yeah.
Hannah, what about you? What's a favorite word?
I don't know. Like when I was younger, I remember really liking the word goblet.
Yeah.
I feel like you also added a syllable to it.
Yeah, it
like,
sounds much better.
Why? How do you say it?
Goblet.
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 It sounded like you said goblet.
It's like goblet.
Goblet. No. All right, so now we're moving on to our last segment, Karen, which is called What's the Word? Okay. It's very similar to our fun segment now that I think about it, but this is going to be even better. So the first word is to go off like a frog in a sock.
Not since I was 16.
Ew. No.
What?
Oh my god. So that means you're trapped and you're flailing your arms around?
Is that it? That's what you think it means, Karen? Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Karen, just an FYI, these often mean something out of the freaking blue. Like, you know, like a brown-haired mullet means a poo in the sea. Like, what? So don't think that you have to break down the wordage because it's often not the case.
I think it means like someone throwing a temper tantrum, like they're just like pissed and they're just not getting their way.
I mean, we know what Evan thinks it is. So,
what?
I mean, he already said it.
Oh yeah, right.
And I walked in on him and he was going off like a frog in a sock.
And literally, you're right, Anna. It means like you're like bouncing off the walls, like you're going a bit crazy, like you're very excited. So like I would be like he's going off like a frog in a sock.
Yeah.
Or sometimes we wouldn't even say like to go off. You shorten it to just be like a frog in a sock. Like how was it? How was he? Like a frog in a sock.
And across the board, like Aussies would know what you meant.
100%. When I said it to you, when I said those words to you, I thought you were gonna be like, "Yeah, we know that." Like sometimes I get scared of not sharing stuff with you guys because I'm like, they'll know that. I'm not gonna share that with them.
Always share.
Yep.
Okay, so the next one is to cut someone's grass.
Cut somebody's grass. I want to say, oh, like it's annoy, irk, or insult. That really cuts my grass.
Oh, right, right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, okay.
Like grind your gears.
Grind my gears.
Yeah. Evan, what do you think?
Well, I mean, that's like if somebody cut my grass, I would be like so thankful.
Yeah.
So it, like someone cuts your grass, like all I can think of is like doing a favor, like he cut my grass, like he really did me a solid, like they really did something for me and I owe them, like he cuts my grass off and
he brought me, oh my god, I was so sick and he totally cut my grass like hot soup, like that.
It sounds, yeah. There's something about it to me that sounds dirty,
right?
Yeah.
But yeah. I also think that maybe it's something simple like, you know, cutting bangs or something. I have no idea. I've got nothing.
That's awesome. Mm. So basically what it means, you're all wrong. And nice. It means that it, like, to cut someone's grass is like you're stealing something from somebody. So like, you know, the TV show, like Big Brother.
Yeah.
And it basically really like gained popularity in Big Brother. But there was like this big love triangle. And a guy like was interested in taking his friend's girl, but he's like, no, I wouldn't. Like, that's cutting someone's grass. Like, I wouldn't cut someone's grass. So it's like you're taking, whether it be like you're taking someone's trade or you're stealing someone's idea or you're like stealing someone's girlfriend or someone's wife or like husband or boyfriend. So like you'd be like, you wouldn't cut someone's grass. Now I'm not going to cut their grass.
Interesting.
Whoa. Weird, because who wants grass clippings?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Are you like, I wonder if that's almost, instead, like we're thinking of it too domestically and it's more like a farming term of like stealing their hay, you know, or like cutting like their actual goods that, you know, and you're like taking their, it's like, yeah, I went and cut his barley and took it and made bread or something. Like,
I love it how you try and, I mean, like, you're right. Like, I tried to dig and like find the origin of it, but I couldn't, but like, I knew it and I say it.
Interesting.
Yeah, but like, don't cut grass.
I feel like that's one that would definitely, if you said that in casual conversation in America, it really would be connotated oppositely.
Yeah,
because you know.
Yeah. Okay, so that's my two words.
Well, those are stiff ones. All big fail on my part on all of the words.
I don't know. We've hardly ever gotten them. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Now you have to try and use it in this coming week. You have to try and use a frog like a frog in a sock and cut someone's grass.
Okay, he went off like a frog in a sock because I cut his grass.
All right. So thank you so much, Karen, for joining us. You've been a star.
Fun. Good talking to you guys.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And if you did like this podcast, be sure to subscribe and follow us on your favorite listening app. And if you are on Apple Podcasts, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a review. And catch you later.